move into this, I'd like to remind us that the whole world is affected by the church. It must never be that the world affects the church. We must realize the sophisticated premier place, emphasis that God has placed on His church. The gates of hell can't stop it. That's huge. I don't know if being a member of that it does for you what it does for me. But I want to learn everything I can about my spot in this kingdom. I want to learn the technique that Jesus applied all the way to the cross and through the grave. It's my desire to know Him very well. And I was amazed that I got tired of talking to some people in a business today before I got to the cash register. And matter of fact, some of you would be in memory of this, but one of the men had come in to the place, and he said, Brother Meyer, he said, do you remember that funeral we had where that snake got loose under the tent? And I said, how well I remember that. He said, you know, every time I think about a tent and a funeral, I think about you. And I understand that. He said, I didn't know what to do. He was singing when the event occurred. He saw the snake, so he just closed his eyes and kept singing. That was my first notice that that was what was going on. All I know is I had my eyes closed when the event took place. And when I heard him shouting and screaming, and he's singing a very melancholy song, I'm like, man, I don't think I've ever heard anybody do this at a funeral. And when I looked up, I said to the person next to me, I said, what's going on? He said, there's a snake under the tent. People were in their chairs and carrying on. Well, anyhow, so we got talking about the situation in the world and what's going on in the world. And I got up to pay my bill. And the lady said, Pastor, I want you to know I believe what you said is true. And I had no idea she was listening in. So it gave me an opening to share some things with her. And I just sense a dynamic hunger. And if we can sort of refrain from trying to insist they come here, I think they'll see your tracks to where you're getting what you're getting. And they will desire to be at a place that's advancing this humongous call of God to be my people. And together, we will share a victory forever. So I remind you, when he talks about the bride of Christ, he's just talking about a partnership. You don't take that to the carnal side. And if we could take that spiritual side to the marriages of our day, a partnership, we're partners together to accomplish the vision in our marriage and our children and et cetera. And if we could really keep that partnership idea instead of you just do this and you do this, we're workers together. Laborers, the Bible says, even in the church, we are certainly partners because we are of the same spirit and in the same body. So why don't you put most of the people in the dark? Thank you. Now, actually, you already been studying. Here we grow again. I wish somebody would say it. Here I grow again. There is not a place where the Bible even puts a period over grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. How many of you can quote the entire Bible? How many of you can quote the New Testament? How many of you can quote all the citations of the power that belong to you? How many of you know how to personally pray your way through until you are so equipped when you walk out the door of your house that the devils are afraid to raise their head? That's why we need to have prayer meetings like we've never had prayer meetings. That is why we need to have study chambers such as this, into which we come with an incessant appetite. God, I'm going to apprehend that which apprehended me. I'm not letting it get loose. You made a promise to me, and I'm going to keep my end of the bargain because I know you're going to keep your end. So meetings like this are not something we close the day with and just say, well, you know, boy, I've been so busy, but I know I'll get some rest while Pastor preaches because he puts several others to sleep. Maybe I can get some rest. Come on, folks, let's have fun doing this thing. Let's really enjoy getting together and learning together to how to oust the enemy out of our city and our schools and our homes and this facility. I want people to be able to come in here and say, man, I feel secure. Wow, I sense that I'm among people that know how to entertain angels. That's what we're pressing the threshold for. We're not just trying to be what we've always been. Matter of fact, the Bible frowns on looking back very, very powerfully. So we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I wish somebody would say ashamed. Ashamed means incomplete, lacking, naked, embarrassed at the time. The snail finally got on the ark, and God is not rushing us to do this, but he does intend for us to at least make some strides forward. One of our biggest deals is we've pushed out the window, in your patience you possess your soul. We're going to win the world in a month. We're going to win the world in a revival. We're going to win the world after 1 year. Not going to happen. God waited 4,000 years to get here. He's waited 2,000 now. He's not in a hurry. Going to give you 70 to 80 years to get this part together. He's not in a rush, and he tells you don't get in a rush, because in your patience, you possess what? Impatience rips faith apart. I don't know what has got me looking at football lately, but I've been enjoying a few of these games that these guys play. Now, you take that Texas Longhorn game, that's been in the last month. How many of you noticed? It was last night. Well, I just told on myself, didn't I? And Georgia, I ate the slowest I could eat last night at Applebee's so I could watch more of that game. And you know what amazed me today? When I got up, I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I couldn't get to your house. I couldn't wait to, when I thought of it about noon, to look it up on the phone and see who won. And I was amazed that the crowd that was behind 20 points didn't give up and say, Pentecost don't do for me what they said it would do. Interested to see if they gave up. And I'm amazed that football players, for a carnal crown will not give up. And Texas Tech went into that game ranked number 15, and the other team was ranked number 5. And I'm thinking, this isn't even going to be a contest. No need for me to watch. I like real contests. And the team ranked 15 eased up on this scoreboard and put to shame that team that was supposed to be number 5. And today I saw a clip somewhere. I don't even remember, but it looked like they had a dog for a mascot. And it looked like that dog got close to that cow. Did you see that part? Now, what happened there? Because I couldn't figure out if the dog antagonized the cow and the cow got after him. Is that what was really happening? I told my wife, I said, that was really amazing. Because it looked like that cow discouraged that dog. That dog took off running like some Pentecostal, like some people, when trouble is in their way. I'm here to tell you, the blood says you're going to win. The name says you're going to win. The word says you're going to win. The Holy Ghost says you're going to win. I don't care what the scoreboard looks like, what the call of the devil's telling you. I'm telling you, the scoreboard in heaven says, that's my man. That's my lady. I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. You're never going to fail. If you'll just trust in me, I will bring it to pass. That's why it says study, to show yourselves approved of God, a workman that never needs to come up lacking. Lacking confidence, lacking a sense of security, lacking a sense of well-being, lacking a sense of I know in whom I have believed, and he is well able to take care of me. I'll just get hid with him in the Word. I will just hide myself in the Holy Ghost. I'll hide myself under the blood. The devil cannot get there. I wish we'd just praise him for the hope. Now we're playing. Oh, sorry. That's all right. You don't have to back it up because y'all saw it quick, didn't you? Yeah, it's wonderful. There's a whole calendar for 2019. Now we don't know. No man knows the day nor the hour. We may not get past January the 15th. But what we are going to do, we're going to try our best this year to reveal his glory in every way possible. And God has already given us a lot of information, and I can hardly wait from service to disseminate so much of what he's trying to share with us. But a progressive influence and inspiration is vital. How many of you are excited right now about tomorrow getting here so you can display his glory? So you can display in your footsteps and your level of confidence, he is with me always, even to the end of the earth. I am his and he is mine. He committed himself to me before I ever committed myself to him. And if the cross is not enough proof, the resurrection ought to be. If dying for us wasn't enough, rising up out of the grave to send us a Holy Spirit to say, I will lead you and guide you by my Spirit, nobody will know. He said, I'll guide you with mine eye. You may not hear a thundering voice out of heaven that says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But if you can catch his eye, remember what I've told you about Dad? He'd get up and lead the singing. Brother Ronnie, don't let him have to call your name. It'll embarrass you. But in order to get you where he wants you to be, if he has to, he'll put you on the spot. He's that kind of merciful God. Go join the lady if you would. Thank you. Well, don't we have a great Sunday school superintendent? Appreciate everything he does. And so this progressive influence, if you wake up in the middle of the night, make sure it's not him. If you sense a discouraging thought, just go ahead and rebuke the devil and tell him to get out of here, because God's not going to wake you up in the middle of the night and get you worried about anything. That's not God. If you sense a rebuke, you will immediately sense a security. So it's a big deal, this idea of walking with God. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But he said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I want that to sort of sink in. I mentioned it the other day, but I want you to understand that the devil already knows, and it's penned in the book, that there is a God and that there's only one, and he knows when we're serving him or not. He knows who to pick on. And so this whole theme that we spent the last month on Wednesday night, who or what is influencing and motivating us? What do I get out of the bed motivated by? I'm a child of God. I've got a covenant with God. I've got a relationship with God. And I've got some duties to my family. I've got some duties to my city. I've got some this. But what I know is this: I am motivated because this God gave me my first breath. He's going to give me my last breath. And he's going to give me all the power to learn, live, and have options through life. That's huge. There is not an intellectual system that can become what God has become far to and through us. You can learn a whole lot of stuff about the world, but this business of understanding that the devil knows this God, and if we can hide ourselves in his truth and emanate his truth and talk his truth and talk to people about his truth, he's going to be scared to death that we're going to have that revival that God's wanting to give us. And I encourage you again to read Zechariah 14 as the start of this year goes. But thou know, O man. I wish somebody say no. O vain man, that faith without works is dead. You can memorize scripture. You can know all the doctrines of a group. You can have an understanding basically of what that group is about. But until faith is applied to truth, no power. Dead. I'm seeing a lot of people that can quote scripture. I know he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And the next minute you see them scared to death that somebody's going to pronounce they've got some little cancer thing. I've had it up to here with the devil trying to talk you into you're going to die before God's appointed time for you. You're not going anywhere till God says it's okay. He gave you your first breath. He's going to give you your last. Hang on to the promise. If that's not true, there's no heaven or hell. If that's not true, you don't even have a devil. You don't even have an enemy. I'm here to tell you he is God, and he alone is God, and he knows when you're going to expire, and you're not going anywhere till then. Cuss fear out of your life. Command it to get out of your life. I'm going to live in the victory that overcomes the world. A faith that cannot be denied. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I wish somebody would declare it right while I'm teaching this lesson tonight. I am going to reveal His glory to everybody I can. I'm going to smile at them. Meaning I'm going to sense miracles in life every day. I'm going to sense that God is doing what He said. He is at work every day. How many of you felt a real serious touch of God here Sunday night? Raise your hand. Now, what I want to tell you, according to the Word, you only felt the edge of His ways. And what I want to remind you of is not only the edge you touched Sunday night, but more than you have ever felt is working for you 24/7 if you're in covenant with Him. Now, it just don't get any better than that. The sun's working for you. The moon is working for you. The angels are working for you. Disturbing others around you. Have you ever been disturbed while others were sleeping? I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost is not just some little thing that happens to us at an altar where we talk in tongues. It is the Spirit of God that leads and guides us through this world, educating us according to the Spirit, educating us according to the powers that are already in place, and that is all working for you tonight while you're sitting here. And when you get in that bed, the angels are going to be working things out for you. While you're getting up in the morning, the angels are going to be working for you. And each one of you, according to the estimators, say you've got about 20 to 25,000 angels per person in this world. That's huge. Why ought not we be confident when we walk out the door of our house and our kids are laboring with things and you say everything's going to be all right? You'll never know everything's going to be all right, but you trust by faith in His Word. He said, I will be there. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm a Savior. I'm a healer. I'm a deliverer. It's never that He's not any of those things. He is that all day long. Oh, I wish we'd praise Him like He deserves it. Jesus, we're not going to just sit around and just act like that it's another football game and another baseball game. This is the heaven and hell. This is love and life. Now, and this is sort of where I closed last week. Faith is dead being alone. And I want us to memorize this. I want you to be able to say it with confidence. Knowledge feeds faith. And that's why He said, grow in grace. Somebody say, here we grow. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Grace simply means teaching. And it is unmerited favor. We've been given half of the knowledge, but the Bible said that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. It's so easy. He said, this is so simple, a fool can't miss it. You don't have to go to Harvard to understand the things of the Spirit. Matter of fact, He said, a carnal mind is enmity with God. You can go to all kind of schools and find all kind of things that the world says these words mean, but the Bible identifies itself. Noah found grace, and it taught him how to build a ship. Saved his family. Grace is a phenomenal thing. So grow in teaching or grow in learning. Learn of me. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Wow, what an opportunity to know that the expanded hunger of humans by faith can reach into the heavens and pull out a thing that will cause a cancer to run. That by faith we can pull out of the glory world a faith that can cause our homes to grow into the majesty of His entire in operation. He is on your side. He's not against you. He would be against anything in your heart, but He's not against your heart. He's here to save you, to cleanse your heart, to cleanse your mind from all those doubts and fears and inhibitions and worries. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a Savior. He's on your side. Go to sleep knowing that tonight. Oh, hallelujah.
I wish somebody that really believes it just stand up and hold your fist in the face of the devil and say, I believe this truth. I want the devil to see a church that believes in the blood. I'm not talking about say they believe in it, but we believe in the blood. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in one God. We believe the glory. We believe the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Knowledge feeds faith. Now, the master architect of all life, God, it is He that made us, not we ourselves. I wish you'd just tell yourself, He knows I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You ought to look in the mirror every morning and tell Him, I'm not my own. I bought with a price. I live with a name on my life. I live with a name in my brain. I live with a name that motivates me. I live with a name that directs me. I live with a word that directs me. I live with a word that's a foundation for my life. I live with something that motivates me, that's out yonder somewhere that no man framed. It was the Lord Himself that came and brought the glory of the heavens right here to earth. That's huge. It's not in man to direct his own steps. The next line that I'm going to introduce proves who and how many really have faith. Jesus proved His faith in the Spirit that was in Him in spite of all the criticism. He looked in the face of the people and He said, if you've seen me, you've seen Him. He learned obedience. And probably that scripture alone about 3 years ago got a hold of my life. He learned obedience through the things He suffered. Your prison is a short term. The moment you enter into a problem or a situation that is beyond you, don't look defeated and run. Not even football players run from a problem. They can't wait to play again next year, and I watch some of them carried off the field. You ought to just, if you got to lay down for a week, just lay there and whisper and talk. Because how be it in the Spirit, we speak mysteries. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession with the Father for us, with groanings that cannot be uttered with the human frame. That's why we trust in the Word. The Word says that. You shall know that truth, and that truth shall set you free. It will develop an inner confidence, an inner compass, an inner peace, an inner joy, an inner righteousness that will direct your steps. Because it's not in us to direct our own steps. That's why you need to pray through over your wife every day. She is not going to leave you. Huh? No, she's hooked up, man. It ought to be the most exciting thing for us to walk together in all of this. I love you. I wish you'd turn around and find somebody you hate, and that you love. No, just find somebody. Look at them and see if their eyes can pick up what your eyes are. Try David Bell out. He's waiting on a smile. Tell him. Look at that. See? I love you. We ought not to be ashamed to be telling each other that every day. I live to provide and protect you. That's what love is. The world sold us a bunch of junk on love. Just a high-level feeling. I love this. I love that. I love that. No. He said, don't you love the things of the world? Don't live to protect and provide the things of the world. Live and provide to protect the blood in your life. Live and provide. I love you, Jesus. You are all in all. I provide myself with the information, and I protect myself with the information. I love the truth, and I'm not going to sell it. I love my neighbors. I love my enemies. I'm going to do everything I can to convert every enemy in this city by loving them. You can't love this enemy thing with the way the world tells you love is. All these divorces and everything, they don't need a psychiatrist. They need a savior. They need to know what love really is. Our kids need to know what love really is. It is simply God so loved the world that he gave. It gives. It don't get. It gives. And it gives Jesus, who is protection and provision. Protects us from our history. Protects us from all evil. And then provides for us a more excellent way. Could we just thank him from our heart for that? Just that simple knowledge. God, it's not about going to a house and putting in our time. It is about learning. The excitement of knowing. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't know why we let this ugly thing act like sin is got to be some ugly thing. Sin is just separation from the head, from all authority and power. Anything that separates us, fear. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It separates the body from the head. I'll never forget George Thompson, one of the greatest Bible teachers I ever heard, teaching that when I was just a young preacher. And that lives in my brain till this day. He showed us how sin separates the spiritual authority, and doubt is fear, and fear is sin. And that separates us. It don't have to be some ugly fornication or perversion. Sin is to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is separation. So, I skipped over the line, obedience to his word. The only way that we are hid with Christ in God and are made invulnerable is to hide his word in our heart, he said. Hide thy word. I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, the motivating force for every decision, the influence of every decision is based on thy word, O Lord. For thy word, O Lord, only is life. So now religion assures people of a ticket to heaven. And don't be deceived. If you can't get over the iniquity of a day, that's the misbehavior of truth. See, what happens in America, we're so fast, and we're living so fast, we don't take time to analyze. He said, he separated them. Your sins that separate you from the head are keep his face from looking on you, or his glory from being revealed in your life. Sin does that. But the next thing that does it is iniquity. And that's holding the truth in a lie. Telling myself because I know the truth, I'm living the truth. That's iniquity. And he says, your sins and your iniquities have hid his face from you. The glory of the Lord is to understand without a question that I am in relationship with him to the place where he motivates my life, he directs my steps, and I am so obedient to him that I am not fearful because I'm no longer my own. I've been bought off. I'm under the name. I'm under the blood. I'm in the covenant. I'm in the glory. I'm in the power. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, but a lack of faith, a fear. That's why I'm preaching to us, because this year, not next year, this year, as long as he's here, we're going to pledge ourselves. We're going to present his glory on every street corner, in every marketplace. God's going to be with you, sir. You don't have to even know their problem, because he is an ever-present help in the time of need. And if you know that, you can with confidence tell the stranger that you've never met, hey, man, I don't know you, but I do know a God that made you. And I'm telling you that God's going to put a smile on your face sometime this year. Now, I'm not asking you to do something I hadn't been practicing. I'm developing people I'm preaching to every week all around this city. I'm not just going to come here and preach. I'm telling you, God is going to have a church that the devil can't stop and can't keep us in fear and in a weird life. I'm telling you, being confident of this one thing: he which hath called you is able to perform his work. Now you turn around with God behind you and God under you and God over you, and you're covered by the blood. You walk out there and tell somebody, God is with us. I mean, some spiritual authority in it. Hey, I'm feeling something now. I'm telling you, we don't have to wait till the devil moves. We can move the devil. I said, we don't have to wait till he gets out of our way. We can cast him out. He that believeth shall cast out devils. I don't know why the devil's got us over on one corner thinking if all we got to do is talk in tongues and it's going to happen. He said, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You can't have something going out if you don't have something coming in. That's why you want to stay hungry, so you have an overflow. Oh God, give me this day my daily bread. Oh God, this day forgive me for every trespass. Oh God, this day not my will but thy will be done. Open your hunger and let it roll, and the river will come through, and you'll speak to your kids and you'll speak to our citizens and convince them he alone is God. There's none like him. Religion don't compete with deity. Oh, I wish somebody'd stand. Some of you men, you women are tired, but these men, they've lazed around all day long. My God, we want you to hear us this Wednesday night. We're confident you're with us. We're confident you're with us. We're confident you're working in our homes. We're confident you're working in our city. We're confident. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank y'all. Y'all are so helpful. We know, we, knowing all of this, plus exercise ourselves unto godliness day after day, building up our most holy faith. It was Monday morning early. God spoke to me. He said, I want you to tell the people that use godliness have an appetite for more of it. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Got me some yardage. Got me a little yardage. The devil said I couldn't, but I got to step on him. He tried to block me and cause doubt to fill my brain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm contented to know he is Lord and I'm not. I'm contented to know that he can do all things when I can't. I'm contented to know that he is working while I'm asleep. Godliness with contentment is great gain. God heard my prayer and I can go to bed now. God has received my petition. I can go ahead and do what I got to do today. today, because godliness with contentment is great gain, and you keep wanting more spiritual appetite when you get fed spiritual power. And it's just, I don't know, I just had a party by myself that God, Spirit, by reading and ministry, plants these seeds in us and they grow us up. No seeds, no growth. Seeds sown into the heart, sown into the mind, the spirit, faith, glory, water, and increase. And of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. I'm seeing some people at a dead-end street and all that just saying, I wish Jesus would come.
I got some friends that are not ready for Jesus to get here. Sure, I'd like to get out. Sure, I'd like to get rid of the ministry. But I'm sort of like that group from Georgia. I wish I had another chance. I only got 21 points. But they got that after being behind 20 points. I said they got it. I don't know if you're behind or not tonight, but what I do know is that God is able
to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. All he's asking us to do is apply the word to our mind. Apply the spirit to our lives. Let the word of God be our guide. And let the spirit of truth be our power. And I'm telling you, motivated by the Holy Ghost and guided by the spirit of the truth, I'm here to tell you there's no demon that can hold you back, sir. There's no demon that can hold your home back. Quit looking at the problem and looking unto Jesus. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Quit looking at the situation. Look at the healer. Look at the deliverer. Look at the answer. Look at the glory.
It's his trick to get us to looking at the problem and making us think we fail.
The only place we even fail is not to trust him when things get tough. That's the only thing. He is going to deliver. But he's going to do it through your voice. He's going to give your voice confidence.
I wish you'd just stand and tell me. I know in who I have believed.
I know in who I have believed.
And I am persuaded.
And I am persuaded.
That he is able.
That he is able.
To keep that.
To keep that.
Which I have committed unto him.
That which I have committed unto him.
Against the final day.
I'm telling you, you're in good shape if you can say that every morning you get up. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And just make sure you got it all committed unto him. Mind, heart, soul, and strength. I have committed everything to him. And he alone is God. He alone that can protect and provide. He is our source. And he is also our judge, because he knows where he has tried to source us. Somebody say, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Somehow, we got to get the reins in our hands again and say, look, I know what love is. Love according to God, not Webster's dictionary, which is failing almost every 50% of the marriages in the country. Am I online? Brother Mike, am I online? Can you turn me off for a minute? Because I'm going to tell you what I heard on the radio today. I debated all day about it. And it has bothered me to the max that they feel such liberty to declare their wormy junk out here. And it was a sports channel on FM or XM radio, whatever it is I got. And they were interviewing people with New Year's resolutions. And now this is public radio where your kids can hear.
Okay? The guy said, I can't tell you how excited I am, but I got.
sanctuary wondering why the preacher lied to me. Wondering why he didn't tell me the whole story. Well, I refuse to tell us part of it. I don't belong to religion. I belong to Jesus. I belong to a bloodline that is secure in the Word. I belong to a bloodline and a name that I don't have to worry whether he's going to leave me nor forsake me. He has said, I'll be with you to the end, son. You just look up, for your salvation is coming. Your redemption is going to take place. You just hang on to the faith, and you get up every day and do the best you can, and I'll make the difference. Oh, I wish somebody'd give your neighbor a high five and let them know we're on track. I want to hit that one more time. People that are really God-oriented have a God-centered hunger. And you can develop a God-centered hunger. It's not just rules and regulations. Godliness, that is spiritual mindedness. And the people that are spiritually minded understand what's really motivating their actions to their neighbor and to the church and to themselves. Godliness with contentment is yardage. I wish you'd just get up and sort of just, I'm going to make one more yard. I want you to act like there's a big old devil right there. And you look at him and tell him, I'm persuaded that God created this whole thing. He said God created evil and God created good, and he created good to override evil. I'm coming through, Mr. Devil. I don't care what you try to do me and the missus. I don't care what you try to do me and the family. I don't care what you try to do me and the job. I don't care what you try to do me with me and the enemies. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded. He's able. He's able. He's going to keep that which I committed, and I'm not getting my commitment back. My commitment is to praise the Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to love him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to dance, not because I feel like it, because he loves to see us praising him, magnifying his name. You're never going to feel perfect till you get there. I wanted to emphasize this. If there are any coming to you and bring not this doctrine, somebody say teaching, receive him not into your house. Now, how many of you know that you are the temple of God? So don't receive an accusation. Somebody looks at you and says, I'm going to kill you. Let me tell you something. If it's not your time to die, you just watch for him to lose his life or lose whatever he's got going. Because I promise you, the Lord said, I give and I take away. And every one of us, he said, has got a time to die. And you're not going to stop that. But the devil can't advance it. I'm not giving up my faith in Jesus. That's the thing that keeps me in timing with the performance power of heaven. Somebody say a wobble world. Everything's changing. That's why I put all kind of colors on changing. You never know what color religion's going to be. When I first started out, we couldn't go fishing on Sunday. Any of y'all remember that? We couldn't go fishing on Sunday. My brother got collared for playing little league ball at the school. Now we have schools and we promote games. Don't act like we hadn't been changing. It's a wobble world. Years ago, we had 7-day revivals. Bible says clearly, in the last days there will become a famine of the hearing of the word. A famine of wanting to hear the word. I pray to God it never happens to us, because the word is what sets us free. And the word renews our faith. The word glorifies him. The word brings angels. The word brings the blood. And the blood brings the word. There is an inseparableness to the hunger for more of the word. And people are so hungry for the world, but it's a wobble world. And the world's churches are rocking. And the idea of him being an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, is somewhat unsure right now. Leaders are trying to figure out new ways. He said, I'm the old way, I'm the new way, and I am all in between. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the source but by me. I wish somebody would cry out to him, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help my home and use me to be the one to help that. I gladly sacrifice my mind to the word. I gladly sacrifice my heart to the spirit. I gladly sacrifice my whole world to have your world. I'm not going to wobble anymore. You never change, and I'm not going to change. Now, I'm going to throw this at you real quick, because we got to get out of here before 10 o'clock. I'm getting tired. I hear people that haven't studied the word say, he never changes. Well, when he said, I never change, he was telling you, I never cease to change. He was the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is Aaron's rod that budded. He is the scepter that came out of the east. He is the everything that you can imagine he has become. He is in the flesh, and yet he acts. Let the flesh die. Now he's the resurrection. Now he's the wisdom of the world. He is a source for every librarian. He is, and here's what he is most. He's a forgiveness. He is the mercy. He is the kindness. He is the joy. He is the lifter up of my head. He is the glory in my face. And I'm here to hunger after him, because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will be everything you need me to be. And I'm going to tell you what he's going to be tomorrow when you get up out of that bed. If you'll seek his face, the glory of the Lord, I'll tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find sustenance for your soul, and you're going to put your arm around that little gal over there, and you're going to say, sweetheart, yeah, we're going through some tough stuff, but I'm telling you, greater is he that is for us than he that is against us. We've got a mighty God. He proved that, and he is going to do whatever he has to do to save you. The thing he never quits changing at is becoming whatever you need him to be. And it's always got to do with saving you, protecting you, providing. Why don't you take the hand of somebody and just let them know, you can count on me. I've made up my mind. Whether it's dark outside or darker, I'm going to praise his name, because I want him to know I'm in covenant with him. I am in relationship with him, and I'm not divorcing him because I had a bad day, and I'm not divorcing him because he let some situations come my way that I don't understand. He is my God. He is the source of my strength. He is the power of my world, and I'm not changing in that. If there's anybody that would like to slip down to the altar, we're going to find out the altar's not just for sinners that are mean and miserable and pitiful. The altar is for the church as much as it is for anybody Because he said, bring your gifts to the altar. And sinners don't know what to do with gifts. But let me purge them is what he's saying. Let me clean all that stuff up. And I'll get the debris of doubts and fears and inhibitions. Praise God. I hope you have a great night. Shake hands with somebody and be friendly. Let's let the glory fill our hearts through our hands, through our smile. If you want to come to the front, please feel free to come. God bless you. Have a great night. Thanks for preaching me nearly to death.